There once was a composer who composed wonderful music, a composer whose music was loved and admired throughout Germany and England and Italy. Today, his music is still loved and performed all over the world. This composer's name is George Frederick Handel. But Handel's music was not always so well loved, and Handel himself was not always so grandly successful. In fact, Handel's life as a composer was rather difficult at times. His life was filled with challenges, for there were those individuals, jealous and mean-spirited, who were quite eager to see Handel fail. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself in our story. Let me begin our story in the middle. Well, it's not really the middle. Handel was already 21 years old. The year was 1706, and Handel went to live in Italy, traveling to Venice and Rome, where he could meet the greatest musicians of the time. There, he could also study the most current and popular fashions in music with celebrated composers. Now, even before arriving in Italy, Handel had established quite a reputation as a virtuoso player of the organ, as well as of the harpsichord. So, as it happened, in the year 1708, someone arranged a keyboard competition between Handel and the famous Italian composer Domenico Scarlatti to see who was the more talented performer. After hours and hours of playing, it was unanimously decided that, while Scarlatti was the better harpsichordist, Handel was the better organist. But you can be certain that they both performed brilliantly. Now, life, in some ways, was no different for Handel than it is for us today. He knew that networking, meeting very important and distinguished people, would be vital to his future success. And he was unquestionably right. For in Italy, he was able to make important German connections. In 1710, after 4 years in Italy, Handel returned to Germany and was appointed court composer to the Elector of Hanover. Little did he dream that one day this same Elector would become King George I, the future King of England. Now, all the noble courts throughout Europe had court composers, musicians who would compose original music to be performed on festive occasions and at entertainments of all kinds. And each of the courts had a court orchestra to perform such music. You could tell just how important a royal court was by the size of the orchestra in residence there. But what did Handel do when he accepted his new position in Hanover? Well, the first thing he did was to take English lessons. But the second thing he did was to ask the Elector's permission to leave the court. This leave of absence, Handel promised, would only last for just 1 year.
Ach, go, if you wish,
said the Elector of Hanover.
But in 1 year, then you must be back at court.
Handel departed for London, which, in 1711, was about to become a musical center for, of all things, Italian opera. Handel liked London. Indeed, he enjoyed living in England so much that he stayed away from Hanover, not for 1 year, not for 2 years, but for 3 years. And while he was away, he composed some truly important music. He had enormous success with his first Italian opera in London, the opera Rinaldo. It ran for more than 20 performances in its first season alone. When the curtain went up for the first performance in the year 1711, the overture began splendidly, sounding grand and lively like this. Rinaldo is a magical opera, full of fantasy and adventure. There is a wicked queen who has supernatural powers. She and her general abduct Rinaldo's girlfriend, Almirena. Rinaldo forms a great army. Then, the armies of good and evil battle each other. Using his own superhuman powers, Rinaldo overcomes all odds and rescues Almirena. In the end, a volcanic mountain opens up and swallows the wicked queen, her general, and their army. Now, Rinaldo was not only a theatrical success, it was also a great musical success. Songs from the opera were published and sold so that they could be sung and played at home. Here is one of those songs. It is an aria sung by Almirena, Rinaldo's sweetheart, just after she has been captured by the wicked queen. Poor Almirena, alone in her dungeon cell, terrified, wonders if she will ever be rescued. She sings, "Let me weep for my sad fate, for I am frightened and alone." This is one of Handel's simplest arias, but it is also one of the most beautiful that he ever composed.
Yes.
Handel was a showman, and so, as part of the stage production on that opening night, numerous small birds were released inside the theater as the power of good conquered the forces of evil in a beautiful glade in the woods. Well, it is said that those fluttering birds left the theater in a terrible mess, and so, after the opening performance, the management decided to eliminate that part of the entertainment. Now, Handel knew that a great opera is not exclusively comprised of beautiful lyrical music, and so he composed vibrant, dramatic music as well, such as this battle scene in the last act, where Handel creates great excitement by writing for four trumpets and timpani and whipping up the orchestra to a rousing military frenzy. Now, Handel, still in his 20s, continued to compose majestic music in England. His fame was spreading throughout all of Europe. His operas, written in Italian, since Italian opera had become popular in England, were considered the greatest musical creations of his time. Handel even traveled to Italy to invite famous Italian singers to perform in his operas in London. Thus, Handel was extremely busy, so busy, in fact, that he had completely forgotten all about the Elector of Hanover and his own promise to return to Germany after just 1 year. Well, as luck would have it, Queen Anne of England died. At that time, English law dictated that the new king or queen had to be Protestant. 26 relatives of Queen Anne were in line for the throne, but they were all Catholic. The 27th, however, was a Protestant, and he was none other than the Elector of Hanover. Handel's boss was coming to London to become King George I of England. And he was surely going to be furious with Handel because he, the court composer, had stayed away much too long, 3 years in fact. So Handel needed some spectacular event for which he could compose new music, some extra special music that would please the new king so greatly that His Majesty would forget and forgive Handel's long absence, and then Handel could again be in favor at the royal court. Now, it just so happened that the new King George announced his plans for a splendid celebration. This was to be a royal cruise with many boats sailing down the River Thames. Ah, thought Handel, just the event I need. And so, Handel spent several weeks composing composing furiously. Then he arranged for his own barge of musicians to travel alongside the king's boat, where he would then perform this new music. The summer evening of July 17th, 1717, was warm and balmy, with a full moon to light the way. There were many boats crowded with lords and ladies and their retinues. Every craft was decorated with flags and banners bearing the coat of arms of each noble personage. You can just imagine the splendor of this sight. And as they all set sail, forming an elegant flotilla, well, there came George Frederick Handel and his merry band of more than 50 musicians drawing up towards the king's royal barge and playing as they sailed.
"What have we here?"
exclaimed the king, peering over the side of his vessel, more than a little surprised to find 50 musicians suddenly pulling alongside the royal barge.
Herr Handel, I believe. I am not certain, for I have not seen you in some time. But that was indeed some splendid music. Play on.
Thank you.
Indeed, most cheerful and splendid music,
declared the king, smiling from his royal perch high above Handel's own vessel.
Quite the best I have ever heard. Is there more?
Oh, yes, your majesty, replied Handel. Quite a lot more. And he and his floating orchestra launched into a new section with trumpets and timpani. You can just imagine how thrilling it must have been, this magnificent royal cruise, enhanced by Handel's superb and delightful music. In fact, by the time Handel performed his now famous hornpipe melody, King George was beaming from ear to ear, tapping his foot in time to the music. Indeed, a happy Handel might even have sung these very words to himself.
My name is Handel, George Frederick Handel. The other composers, they can't have a candle. To me, you see, I'm the best, better than all the rest. Yes, now that I'm visiting, I'm glad to say I can again receive my pay.
Now, of course, Handel did not really compose those words. We did. But doesn't the music have a rollicking spirit to it? Well, actually, dancing the hornpipe on board ship was long a tradition among English sailors. And so, perhaps you can imagine all the sailors, even joined by the lords and ladies of the royal court, dancing to Handel's own version of this jolly tune. Here is what the hornpipe sounded like that very evening along the River Thames. And so, in the end, Handel was happily reinstated at court. Handel's music was so well loved that he served the kings of England until his death in 1759 at the age of 74. He was honored with burial in Westminster Abbey, where his tomb may be visited today. Handel composed volumes and volumes of wonderful music, works for orchestra, concertos, operas, oratorios, chamber music, works for solo instruments, and, of course, his most famous work, Messiah. But Handel's water music is special. King George was so delighted with Handel's music that he ordered it to be played in its entirety three times during that royal cruise along the River Thames. Now, the whole score of water music takes almost one full hour to perform. Therefore, As the story goes, the king and his courtiers did not return to the palace until very late on that famous occasion, not until 3 o'clock in the morning. But if it all didn't happen quite that way, well, it certainly does make a simply wonderful story.
For many years, people believed the story that we have just told you. More recently, however, scholars have decided that the Elector of Hanover may actually have granted Handel permission to go to England for other reasons. The Elector of Hanover knew that he was in line for the English throne, so he was eager to have information about the politics at court, as well as information about the health of Queen Anne, England's ruling monarch. In short, Handel may have been a low-level spy. England was the place to be as a composer in Handel's time. Johann Sebastian Bach, who was born in the same year, had a church job. Other composers on the European continent had jobs at the courts of various members of the nobility. These were salaried positions. On the continent, not until Beethoven did composers begin to compose music, arrange concerts, and collect the ticket income. But in England, things were different, and it was the perfect place for an entrepreneurial composer like Handel to be. Handel would compose for the English court, but he never linked himself to a permanent position there. He composed operas and oratorios, went to Italy and hired singers, and then put on fabulous productions in London. Handel was composer, conductor, and producer. You can tell by the story about releasing birds in the theater that he was also a showman. Now, King George I was a very shy monarch, and his ministers felt that they needed to hold an event where they could show off the new king to the people. After all, George was not first or second in line for the throne. He was 27th and not even English. The ministers needed to solidify his position on the throne. The cruise along the Thames was their idea, not George's. A grand procession of boats where the king would travel along the River Thames would be perfect. People could travel in their boats and gather along the banks of the entire route, listening to music and seeing their new king. The trip was public relations, pure and simple. For Handel, however, it was a golden opportunity to get back into the king's good graces. The ministers and the king must have been delighted to suddenly find that they had one of the most famous composers of the day playing for the occasion, and they had not even needed to arrange or pay for it. Handel was only 32 years old when he composed Water Music. He had already composed an enormously popular opera by this time. Handel never returned to live in Germany. He had a long and very successful life in England, and he actually became an English citizen. He composed operas and oratorios, great works like the Royal Fireworks music and Messiah that are still played all the time. If you go to London, you can visit Handel House on Brook Street, where he lived and composed much of his famous music. And you can also visit his grave at Westminster Abbey.
Hello, I'm Stephen Simon. I'm the conductor, and I'm here to tell you some things about the music that you may not have heard or may not have thought about. Handel was a great and prolific composer, and you have just heard a few works from the many that he composed during his long life. Let's begin at the beginning. The overture. An overture is a piece of music that is performed at the beginning of an opera or a ballet, or even a Broadway show, where the orchestra plays alone, there are no singers, and it sets the mood. It is the transition between the real world and the fictional realm, or the world of make-believe. That was from the overture to Handel's opera, Rinaldo. The next time you listen to this recording, see if you can recognize it. Opera was just one of the many kinds of music that Handel wrote. He also composed sonatas and suites for solo instruments. That is an example of a harpsichord suite. When a soloist plays with an orchestra, however, it is called a concerto. When we think of a concerto today, we think of something that sounds more like this. In Handel's day, however, the orchestras were much smaller. Handel composed many concertos for the oboe, for the harp, for the organ, and also for groups of solo instruments, such as two violins and a cello, or two oboes and a bassoon. A work where there was a group of soloists is called a concerto grosso. Concerto was a work for orchestra and solo instrument, or instruments, and grosso means big. So when Handel wrote a concerto grosso, it was a big concerto. You heard part of a concerto grosso in the story. Did you recognize it? Water music is an instrumental work that is comprised of three suites. A suite, originally, was a group of dances, like songs on the iTunes store. There were English suites with English dances, and French suites with popular French dances. Today we think of these as classical sit-down-and-listen music. But in their day, they were dance music, so in water music, you find popular dances like the bourrée, the gavotte, the minuet, and the hornpipe, because Handel knew that everyone likes dance music. One interesting fact that you might like to know is that you can identify which suite a piece in water music belongs to by the instrumentation. They all include the strings, but the first suite also has oboes, bassoons, and horns. The second suite adds trumpets, and the third suite has a flute and piccolo. Because these are all dances, pieces that are only 2 or 3 minutes long each, they can be shuffled, which is what I do when I perform the entire work, and I always end with the famous hornpipe. There is one last musical form that I would like to tell you about. You know that Handel brought Italian opera to England. But Handel began composing a different kind of work for singers and chorus and orchestra around 1720. These were in English, not Italian, and they were called oratorios. They had choruses, and they were based on characters from the Bible. During Lent, it was not considered proper to perform operas, so Handel, ever the entrepreneur, started to write what essentially were operas without sets and costumes. If you have ever heard Handel's Messiah, you have heard an oratorio. Handel composed 24 oratorios during his lifetime, but Messiah has remained his most popular. Everyone always asks why the audience stands when the Hallelujah Chorus is performed. The story is that King George II came to a performance of Messiah, and when he heard the Hallelujah Chorus, he was so moved that he stood up. And when the king stands, so must everyone else, and they've been standing for it ever since.
My name is Handel, George Frederick Handel. The other composers, they count on the candles. To meet you see, I'm the best, better than all the rest. Yes, now my time is the king, I'm glad to say. My pen again receive my pen.
You're listening to ICANN. Oregon Coast Aquarium is a journey from seafloor to shore, and we're offering a wave of new experiences. This summer, you can hone your climbing skills in their new nature play area. Then head over to their outdoor amphitheater to meet a cast of animal ambassadors, or view their headwaters feature to follow a raindrop's voyage from the mountains to the sea. You can plan your next adventure at aquarium.org.